702. Food feature.
Right, I've got twins. They are identical. I had to be reminded of who's who when you walked in. A very good afternoon, ladies. Lebo and Tebo Ndala, founders of With Love from the Twins.
Thank you so much for having us. What a pleasure. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I was lucky to have a little sample of your delicious food, the samosas and the banana bread. Yes. And before we get on to that, first tell us a little bit more about With Love from the Twins.
Well, we are from Mamelodi, a township in Pretoria, and we grew up with a mom who loved cooking. So I think that's where our passion started. And years later, we decided to go for it in a more professional manner. So With Love from the Twins is our little company, if you will. Everything is made with love. So we are cookbook authors, pop-up restaurateurs. We are sports nutritionists.
But not only cookbook authors, award-winning cookbook authors.
Of course.
We are Lager Rooibos brand ambassadors, and we do a lot of digital marketing. So that's basically the body of With Love from the Twins.
And I mean, it's such a competitive world, isn't it, cooking? And you meet so many chefs.
Yes.
And in South Africa, we're lucky enough to have chefs who've been incredibly successful.
Yes.
It's not enough just being a chef anymore, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have a book. You have to have a theme. You have to be good at pop-up restaurants.
Yes.
I mean, what do you think it is that makes your success so relevant? I mean, what is it that you've learned?
I think we are passionate about other chef students who are coming after us. So our focus for the past couple of months, years, has been literally grooming these upcoming chefs and mentoring them. And pop-ups are so much fun. People love going out. People love dressing up and going to eat fancy food and meet different people. And that's what we give them.
Yeah.
And I think also just adding, you're never done being a student.
Mm.
So throughout the years, we've decided just to add something else to our hats, you know, so
yes.
Add more hats. So now we are sports nutritionists, and we're adding the mentorships to our hat. And I think it diversifies your business. It diversifies your brand. It allows you to enter different industries as well.
Mm.
Also different industries so you can make money also, because ultimately you want to be
successful.
You want to be successful. You want to make money. I think it allows you to. Competition is good because you become uncomfortable with, there's just so many of us, which is a beautiful thing, but you have to stand out.
Mm.
And I think just choosing different lanes to enter and explore, I think that makes us special, and it makes other chefs special.
It broadens their horizon as well, because now they know that they're not just stuck in a kitchen.
Mm.
You know, they can do so much more. They can be food stylists. They can be food photographers. They can develop recipes.
Mm.
They can host pop-ups. They don't just have to own restaurants. Like, there's so much they can do. So I think us being brave and doing all these things kind of opens up lanes for them as well, which is such a pleasure.
And it really is the new way, isn't it? I mean, you know, maybe even 20 years ago, you had to kind of stick to your lane. You had to be good at one thing and make that work. Now you can do whatever you want.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can
really
do whatever.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I should imagine also being twins, very glamorous, I might add,
if we're
allowed to go the superficial route. Being twins also makes you different.
Yes. It makes us unique.
Mm.
You don't find a lot of twins cooking together and enjoying it. And I think also our personalities make us unique. We're not just twins, but we're these cutie pie shy twins.
Shy?
A little shy. We give hugs and cheek kisses to everybody. But I think also that makes us special, because we bring a different vibe to brands, to people we work with, to spaces we come into.
Authenticity and hominess and comfort and
But, okay, we're going to listen to something very important that pays the bills in just a minute. Mm-hmm. And then I want to ask you about working together, because I've got twins.
Okay.
One loves the kitchen and loves sushi and crab and all of that. And the other one is pop and flace.
Okay.
And they don't get on well in the kitchen. So I'm going to ask you that after this.
Okay, no problem.
702. Food feature.
And I'm talking food with Tebo and Lebo. twins, and I was just asking them before we were listening to that about working together in the kitchen, because I've got twins and they don't get on that well in the kitchen because they've got such divergent tastes.
Yes.
How do you agree on what to cook?
First of all, we influence each other a lot. I mean, yeah. I think the first time I tried oysters, she had to convince me and talk me into eating oysters, and now I'm obsessed.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So if there's a point where we don't like the same thing, we make it a mission to convince the other that you should try it.
That's
like
fantastic.
Anything with oysters or, I remember she didn't like, what didn't you like? I forgot what she didn't like, but I had to convince her.
Yeah. Well, you so obviously did a good job because you forgot.
Olives. She didn't like olives. She doesn't
really?
Like olives. Yeah. So we influence each other, but we actually lucky enough to just really like the same things.
Mm.
Yeah. Because we grew up and my mom cooked a specific way, and we went to the same school and we studied the same thing and we ate the same food and we traveled to the same places. So I think it was inevitable for us to just like the same things because we do the same things. I think that's the cool part about our journey. We've done a lot of similar things.
And thank goodness you get on well. There's a question from Transward X1. Do you argue?
Argue, no. But disagree, of course.
Yes.
As businesswomen, of course, we're going to disagree.
So we sit down a lot, we discuss ideas, and obviously there's going to be a little bit of disagreements here and there.
And a lot of compromising.
Yes.
Wow. I'm going to introduce you to my children. Spend an afternoon with them. Okay, so a little earlier I tasted your samosas.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
So we made samosas with the rooibos chutney, a spicy rooibos chutney. So normally what we do is we cook with rooibos a lot.
Yeah.
We love trying recipes. So we actually like opening up the bag and using the rooibos leaves as a herb. Yeah. So in the herb, in some of the herbs that we used in the chutney was rooibos.
Okay.
Yeah, and we just find.
And as you said, a nice little kick to it.
Yeah, a little heat. Thanks to our mom. She puts chili in everything.
But it becomes quite addictive. The first time I really got into chili, I was in Eritrea, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they do those big pancakes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And everything's got chili, everything from egg to whatever it is. And ever since then, I eat it with almost everything.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to obscure it.
We put chili in our brownies now, so that's a thing.
Oh, there we go. And then, so you studied here. You also studied in the States. Tell us about that experience.
So we studied chefing at the Hearst campus in Stellenbosch. I was on a beautiful wine farm called Bexburg Wine Estate. We were so lucky. And we did a lot of food and wine pairing. And after school, we did an extra credit course for literature in
the UCLA extension.
Yes. And we learned how to write properly and just articulate our work. And then we were lucky enough to use that when we became cookbook authors.
Yes.
Because we had to write a whole manuscript. And obviously a lot of recipes, but we incorporated a lot of stories in that. And then we also studied sports nutrition through the Health and Fitness Professionals Academy. And that was last year.
That's very smart, isn't it? I mean, people are obsessed with their weight and what they put in and how good or bad it is. So that was.
And I think for us is you don't have to punish yourself and not eat your favorite food.
Mm.
Just change the recipe to make it more healthy.
Mm. Yeah.
That's it, basically.
And how would you do that? I mean, what do you replace, sugar with, for example?
Honey. Yes, honey. Mm. Yeah. So like the samosas you had today, normally samosas are deep fried. We just air fried them.
Oh, did you?
Yes. And we made our own rooibos syrup.
Because they were very light.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We make our own rooibos syrup and we use that as a base for our desserts. We use it as a base for our salad dressings. Mm-hmm. We control the sugar that goes into the food.
Always speak over each other.
If you want to make a chocolate cake, instead of using the whole butter required, just replace half of it with grated beetroot. It gives you the same moisture. You won't even taste the difference.
Yeah.
So those are the different ways that we make food a bit healthier.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tell us about your award-winning cookbook. And why do you think it was such a success? What did you put in there?
It was very
worked.
I like to say authentic. You can tell that these girls are from Mamelodi. They still cook like girls who grew up in a township around a lot of family who did a lot of Seven Color Sundays, who ate food from Coco's Kitchen and Chakalaka that my mom made. So it's very homey. It's very relatable.
Very nostalgic.
Yes.
And also you can tell that these girls from Mamelodi traveled quite a bit. They've been to Thailand. They've been to China. They've been to the US. And they've traveled some of these countries. And we always remind people that we're South African by adding a little South African twist to all our recipes. I mean, I think the cute stories, because we always love learning about people and their cultures. For us, it's not just about food. If you serve me something, I want to ask where you got this recipe.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Who told you how to make
it?
Yeah, and we call it food stories. Yeah.
And isn't it wonderful when you go to places like Thailand or Laos or whatever, all that street food, which is so exciting, isn't it?
I mean, I think when you travel, you have to be brave and actually just leave the hotel for a few minutes and just go outside and try authentic food. Mm. We're lucky enough when we went to Russia, we had a Russian friend who lives in Russia who took us to the local spots. Mm. We didn't live like tourists.
Fantastic.
We lived in her apartment, in her neighborhood, and we got to experience real Russians and real friends. And people asking us, how was Russia? We're like, it's one of the...
Incredible.
Yeah. Incredible. The people are absolutely amazing. And when we went to Thailand, we had a teacher who forced us to try Thai food because we would have been eating pastries and French fries the whole time. But she was like, girls, no more French fries. We are eating Thai food and we are obsessed. And now we're making our friends obsessed with Thai food. So it's so important to have an open mind and just be adventurous sometimes.
Yeah. I think you got it. It reminded me years ago when I traveled through Japan and I was obsessed with Japan. And I ended up eating the way the Japanese did it. I thought, while I'm here, you know, fish for breakfast, all that kind of stuff.
Rice
and
for
it's amazing. You think, why do we need egg and bacon for breakfast? Why can't we eat snails,
exactly,
whatever.
Yeah, what they eat, experience what they experience, because we already have that here. Isn't that the point of traveling?
Exactly.
To go experience that culture.
Yeah. Mm.
For you to go all the way to Japan or Thailand or wherever and eat French fries, I feel like that's such a waste.
Yes.
We have French fries here.
Yes. And tell me about the banana bread, also delicious.
Yes. Thank you. So we love making banana bread, and it was such a huge lockdown thing where everybody was learning how to make banana bread. And this one is special because we added a bit of South African to it by adding rooibos.
Yes.
And what I did with the banana bread recipe, instead of adding normal sugar, I added the rooibos syrup. So that controls the sugar content in it. So it's not a lot of sugar.
Okay.
And it has that rooibos element to it. So it's kind of special. Yeah.
And I know you rooibos ambassadors.
Yes.
I mean, it is quite incredible, isn't it? And it's
it
and it's ours.
Yes.
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 And, are people open to it? Because sometimes as a tea, it's just, it is kind of boring.
Yeah. We actually thought that when we were younger.
Yeah.
Because when we were much younger, our grandmother used to make us drink tea all the time.
Mm.
We were actually talking about this off air, about how it's like a trigger or a trauma thing.
Yeah.
Where you stop, you rebel and stop drinking tea because you're so forced.
Yes.
Into drinking it. So at some point, I think as teenagers, we just stopped drinking tea.
Yes.
We're like, no more rooibos for us. We were forced to drink this thing. And then we became young ladies in our late
and our mature.
And we're like, oh my gosh,
this is so royal. Let's go back to tea. And we've convinced everyone that tea is fancy.
Yes.
Rooibos tea is amazing. I remember when we lived in America, like this one coffee shop used to serve rooibos tea. And I just used to go and just sit there and just drink it and be like, I miss home. And it's fancy again. It's very girly. It's very mature. It's such a beautiful drink.
And it's cool that we can cook with it now.
Yeah.
It's so cool because now we can make anything from lollipops to beef stew to salad dressing to...
Oh, I want to try your beef stew.
Yes. And marva pudding. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it, when you travel overseas? I mean, I never used to like biltong until I traveled overseas.
Yes.
And then suddenly I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
Because you miss home.
You just miss home.
It's a piece of home. Yeah.
All right. So what next?
Okay, so we are sports nutritionists, and that's very big. Like, it's something that we really care about. Apart from the fact that we are a bunch of boys, sometimes when we watch soccer, we turn into boys and we just become loud and stuff. But we really are passionate about just young athletes taking care of themselves at their very young stage. It's good for good health. Good nutrition is good for recovery. It's good for how they perform on the field. It's just good for long term.
Mm-hmm. And carbo loading before a game is not necessarily
not for every sport. Maybe for rugby, it's a different conversation, but not for soccer. And so, and hydration is important, and how athletes carry themselves off the field, off season. Mm-hmm. So those are the things we really care about, and it's an industry that we really, really, really want to be in. Mm-hmm. And just also with the students, we really want to do mentorships. Yeah. We're really passionate about young chefs coming up, and we want to mentor them and make sure that they make the right decisions going forward, because we didn't really have a lot of help. We had to figure a lot of these things out ourselves. So
and it was a lot of failures.
So if we could help them on that journey.
We've made so many bad decisions. I think it took us years to really figure out what we wanted to do in the food industry, to the point where we almost wanted to quit, because we just couldn't find anything that really fit for us, fit for our personalities, fit for our strengths. Because normally, or at least back then, when you're starting to become a chef, your only option is you're going to work in a restaurant. And that's scary when you don't really enjoy it. So we're just opening up just
all the information that we've learned, everything that we've learned, we're bringing it to them and saying, there's so much more and there's so much exciting stuff to do out there.
And it's forever changing, isn't it? It's something that's just never going to, you're never going to get tired of, are you?
Food will always be there. Food will always be loved. Food will always bring people together. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful industry. There's just so many different avenues that you can explore as well and just be happy. The food industry is a very great industry, and you can thrive. You can become successful. You can make money. So it's something that...
How do you make money? What is it? What's the best?
The in thing right now,
especially
after COVID, it's digital marketing. So that has been really big for us.
Collaborations with brands, you can make a living.
Right.
That you can use the social media to advertise for brands, develop recipes for brands. So that's a big thing. But obviously, physically cooking for people, events, functions, there's always an event somewhere.
Pop-up restaurants. Yes.
So you can make food in those aspects as well.
I went out for dinner the other evening and they charged us 300 rand for a basic lettuce.
Wow.
Sorry, basic salad. I just had to get that out there. You listening? It was a shocker. So there's money to be made, but honestly, not like that.
Not like that.
If anyone wants to find you, one of your pop-ups, if they want to, I mean, obviously, other than buying your award-winning book and all of the stuff that's been written about you, the food stories, how do they find you?
All our social media platforms are at With Love from the Twins. And our website is withlovefromthetwins.com.
Well, thank you very much for coming in and cooking for me and talking to me, Lebo and Tebo.
Thank you so much.